1 Samuel 23, verse 16. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. Father, we now dedicate this preaching time to you. I pray, Father, that I would preach not in my own power or strength, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. Open thou our eyes that we might behold wonderful things out of your law. Speak, Lord, for thy servants here, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. This morning I would like to speak to you about the important need of strengthening one another in the Lord. The more I am around our brothers and sisters in Christ, and the longer I pastor, the more convinced that I am of the reality that Christians need the encouragement of other Christians more than we may think, yea, even more than we may admit. I believe that believers individually and churches collectively would be far more spiritually strong and effective evangelistically in ministering the gospel light to their homes and communities if they had other believers constantly seeking to strengthen them in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the words of 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 16 are truly some of the most beautiful words in all of Scripture that express the power of encouragement, the power of strengthening another brother in Christ. And from this text, I would like to provide you with two observations and three ways in which you can be used to strengthen another's faith in God. Let me begin by giving you the first two observations from our text. We find first in our text here, David overwhelmed with fear. We know this to be true because of the context that surrounds 1 Samuel chapter 23. In 1 Samuel 23, we read of David being pursued by King Saul. Saul, filled with envy, anger, and bitterness, has been passionately looking for any and every opportunity to destroy David. Being fiercely hated and hunted, living like a fugitive, David hides in the wilderness of Ziph. He is physically living in the woods. Consider what thoughts must have run through his mind as he dwelt in the wilderness being chased like wild game. Perhaps he wondered why the Lord had allowed King Saul to pursue him in such a way. What had he done? Perhaps he wondered how much longer his pursuit was going to take place. No doubt, David must have wanted to be 1,000 other places, doing 1,000 other things, rather than living with the wild beasts in the wilderness and being separated from his home. David's troubling circumstances caused him to be both physically weary and spiritually discouraged. Listen, being hated is taxing to the soul. Being a man without a steady job and a routine schedule is frustrating to the mind. Being without a family, without a home, without a normal practice of public fellowship and worship is discouraging to the heart. To read the Psalms is to read of the many dark storms that came over David's soul. He was a man like Christ, one who was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We find David in the Psalms as one confessing to God that he is downcast in spirit, a man who felt, yea, even cut off from God. David is overwhelmed with fear. We know this not only because of the context of this passage, but because of what we read in our verse. Jonathan strengthened his hand in God. The emphasis of the words here teach us that Jonathan was used of God to help David during a very discouraging time in his life. The mention of Jonathan strengthening David conveys that David was weak and in need of strength. And here we learn something of Jonathan. And this leads to our second observation. Not only do we observe David overwhelmed with fear, we observe Jonathan occupied with brotherly love. Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. Well, the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 18, just after David defeated Goliath, after David stepped out by faith and conquered this champion of the Philistines, it says that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. But that day, David defeated Goliath, there was something given in the heart of Jonathan where he saw that this was a man of God and this is a man that I need to befriend. In that day, God in his grace providentially gave to David and Jonathan a deep and sincere relationship, a fellowship that would stand the test of time and circumstances. And this occurrence of Jonathan rising and going to David in the wilderness exhibits one who is occupied with deep humility, a genuine, selfless love. And I want you to consider two things here as we look at Jonathan. Jonathan's desire to be an encouragement to David was intentional, not accidental. Jonathan arose and went to David. They didn't just bump in to each other at the marketplace and started conversation. Jonathan was not content to stay at home and pray for his friend and brother. He was not content to just merely mentally hope for the best that he was doing. Okay, no, instead, knowing that David must be in a great state, in condition of distress, he wanted to be used of God to revive his soul and to give him the courage that he needed to persevere in fighting the good fight of faith. Jonathan put actions to his concerns and was willing to leave his father at personal risk to go to his friend. Jonathan's desire to be an encouragement was intentional, not accidental. Also see, Jonathan's desires in going to David was to speak of spiritual things, not earthly things. Jonathan went to strengthen David's hand in the Lord. Jonathan did not go to speak to David about the latest headlines in Jerusalem. Hey David, guess what I just read on the front line of the Jerusalem Times? You need to know about it. Now, Jonathan did not go to David seeking to remind David of his poor circumstances in life. He did not go to David to discuss sports, politics, or any other earthly topic. No, he went to remind him of his God. Look in verse 17. After our opening text, it says, "And he said unto him," well, how did he encourage him? How did he strengthen his hand in God? How was he a benefit to his soul? "And he said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul, my father, knoweth." Aren't those beautiful words, those two words, fear not. What is Jonathan doing? Jonathan is encouraging David to remember that God is powerful, that God will accomplish his purposes, and God will keep his promises. Fear not. Jonathan is a true friend in that he is seeking to push David closer to God. What a true Christian friend, filled with brotherly love, that we have in Jonathan. Now, having provided you with the observations, let me now take these truths and seek to apply them into your life by giving you three ways in which you can be used to strengthen another's faith in God. The first way you can help strengthen another's faith in God is walking with God yourself. It is vital that we understand that Jonathan could only offer encouragement to help David because he himself was walking with God. I've used the illustration before. I'll use it again. When you are on an aircraft and they go through the safety procedures at the beginning before they take off, one of the reminders that they remind their passengers in case of loss of oxygen, there will be masks that fall from above, and be sure to assist your own mask before helping others. Why is that? Well, if you attempt to help others without having oxygen flowing to your body first, you're only going to last for so much time. But if you yourself are receiving oxygen, you will be able to help those around you. And so Jonathan is breathing the airs of heaven, if you will, and he is able to help his brother in Christ who's in desperate need because he is walking with God. We must get it through our heads that others don't need us. They need God. Jonathan was a blessing to David, yes, because they were friends, but I think more importantly because Jonathan came oozing with the aroma of heaven from his heart, his face, and his lips. Husbands, fathers, can I exhort you this morning? Listen to me. The greatest thing that you can do for your wife and children is not to provide them with the coolest, latest fads of clothes and fun trips. The greatest thing that you can do for your family is to walk with God. Ask them. Wives, mothers, the greatest thing that you can do for your husband and your children is not to keep the house clean, cook good meals, and put the kids in bed at 8 o'clock sharp, though this is a blessing. The greatest thing that you can do is to walk with God. Church member, the greatest thing you can do for this church is not to busy yourself by being involved in 1,000 activities. The greatest thing that you can do for our church is to walk with God. If we are walking with God, spiritual comfort and encouragement will radiate out of us. And it will be natural. It will be natural to go to our fellow brothers and sisters and to seek to strengthen their hand in the Lord. It won't be awkward. It'll just ooze out. Even when we're not seeking to be a blessing, we will be a blessing if we're filled with God. Consider those that you deem as godly, spiritually minded people. Aren't they like that? You just want to be around them. Why? Because you have sensed that they have dwelt with God and you want to catch something of their hope and something of their joy. And sometimes people are so filled with Scripture, as was said of John Bunyan. You cut John Bunyan anywhere and he bleeds bibline. He bleeds the Bible. And you want to be around people like that in any circumstance, in any conversation. They're not going to bring up Donald Trump or March Madness or the things of this world, but we need something substantial. We need something that's going to help us fight the good fight of faith. And we need the Word of God, spiritual encouragement. Now, we're talking about things of this earth. Do they have their place? Sure. We must focus on eternal things, heavenly things first and foremost. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So we want to be used to be an encouragement to someone else like Jonathan. How can we do it? Number one, we need to walk with God. Number two, we need to submit to God's sovereign will. One of the most remarkable things about Jonathan and David's friendships was the fact that Jonathan accepted God's will regarding David to be the next king. This is an amazing thing. traditionally, humanly speaking, Jonathan should be next in line to be on the throne. But like Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. No, His thoughts and His ways are higher than our ways. And Jonathan submitted to this. Jonathan knew that God had anointed David to be king. God sovereignly chose David to be the next king in Israel. And we do not find Jonathan crying about it. No, we find him submitting to it. Now, Jonathan did not seek to destroy David. He did not become bitter about the decision that God made. Jonathan did not seek to thwart God's purposes. Rather, he submitted himself to God's ordained will and encouraged David, the chosen one of God, even though he did not completely understand all the reasons why. You say, what does this have to do with strengthening somebody's hand in the Lord? It has everything to do with it. You see, your submission to God's will encourage others. Your lack of submission to God's will discourage others. Why? Because actions speak louder than words. Suppose I was a preacher that preached truths to you but did the opposite. Would that encourage you or discourage you? Church family, don't frequent bars. Don't use perverse language. Treat your wife as wonderful. And then I left this place frequently going to bars, using bad language and not treating my wife. You know what that's going to do? It's going to discourage the flock. Because I'm not being the proper example that I need to be to the congregation. And Jonathan reminded David that God was good and worthy to be praised. Jonathan reminded David that God was faithful, just, loving, merciful, and that all of his promises were yea and amen. Jonathan, I'm sure, encouraged David to remember that God is not a man that he should lie, that he is the eternal God who cannot change and can be trusted. While all these truths would have been a great encouragement to David, visibly seeing Jonathan submit to God's will would have been a great strength and help to his life. Jonathan was a walking sermon. He not only preached truth to David with his lips, he practiced truth before David with his life. We need to understand how important this is. Students, the greatest way you can encourage your teacher is not bringing them a nice fresh apple from the apple tree, but it's by doing your work diligently, honestly, and to the glory of God as God's word commands. Children, the greatest way that you can encourage your parents is by respecting them and obeying them as Ephesians chapter 6 outlines in the Word of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Wives, the greatest way you can encourage your husband is by submitting to them as unto the Lord. Husband, the greatest way you can encourage your wife is by loving your wife as Christ loved the church as He gave Himself for her. Greatest way you can encourage your wife is by working hard and providing for her needs and leading and making decisions and getting off the stupid video games. Wives, it's okay to say amen. We need men who will be men, who will lead, guide and direct and be a godly example. Church member, the greatest way you can encourage one another is by diligently seeking to obey the first and great commandment. What is that? To love God supremely and then to love others as ourselves. Imagine what it would have been like had Jonathan not submitted to God's will in his heart. He would have come to David in bitterness. Well, I know you are going to be the next king, but I should be in line. I should be the one going to the throne. This is unfair. I'm the son. I could destroy you this instant. Don't you know that? You think that would have been encouraging to David? No, that would have crushed the spirit of David. But Jonathan does not do that. He humbly submits to God's providence. He submits to God's ways. And it is a lesson for us to learn today. We need to submit to God's will and to God's ways. We want to be a blessing. How can we be a blessing? Well, we need to walk with God. We need to submit to God's will. Thirdly, we need to assure others of our friendship to them. In verse number 18, we see Jonathan and David renewing their friendship with one another, which teaches us. Let's look at it there. Verse 18. And they too made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. They made a covenant. And this is important. They made a covenant before the Lord. Again, keeping God at the middle of their relationship. And this teaches us that one of the greatest ways we can be a blessing and help another child of God is by going to them and assuring them of our friendship, love, and appreciation. There have been many times over the years of my Christian life and ministry during very hard and difficult seasons that many were used, like Jonathan, to come alongside me and strengthen me in my faith. One of the most faithful individuals is my wife. I could not stand here week by week preaching the Word of God, pastoring, shepherding, without the encouragement of my wife. My wife knows me better than you'll ever know me. And she sees when I hang my head down low, when I'm full of fear and I'm not knowing what God is doing, and she tenderly, lovingly, compassionately comes alongside me like Jonathan and says, trust in the Lord. Continue on. And there have been many of you in this place right now who have been used of God over the last 9 months of me being here as your pastor who've come and say, we appreciate you. I've been blessed by your sermon. I'm so glad we are serving the Lord together, and I can't tell you how much that is a blessing. David, being hunted, knew that God was with him. He knew that. But how encouraging it must have been to know that others were with him too. Listen, often when fear settles in, when the storms of life cross our paths, people become lonely and forget that they have others in their life who can help them and encourage them. We must not assume that others know that we are for them and with them. You must go to them like Jonathan and tell them often that you love, appreciate, and are praying for them. Now, some of you, I know in your minds, some of you are wondering about my philosophy of encouragement. Some may be complaining in your mind about me leaving some key elements out about being an encouragement. Because you read the books of this world, and the books of this world tell, well, if you really want to be a good spouse, if you really want to be a good child, if you really want to be a good encouragement, you need to buy flowers and chocolate and teddy bears and candy and presents. Read the marriage books. I mean, that's top priority. There needs to be flowers on the table every Tuesday, 5 o'clock, when you get home. If you want a good marriage. Now listen, these things are not bad things. And they can be kind and loving deeds. But we must never forget that all these things are superficial and worthless if God is not in the equation. And I would add also, if your heart is not sincere, like Jonathan's. Loving deeds must always follow sincere love from the heart. That's why God in Isaiah chapter 1 says, enough, I'm tired of your sacrifices, They are nauseating to me. Why? Because he knew that their hearts were not in it. And God would rather have the hearts of the Israelites rather than the sacrifices of the Israelites. Considering the friendship, love, and encouragement that David and Jonathan share, that Christians are to have, the world, listen, the world knows nothing of this. Tell me what the world does when somebody stands in need of an encouragement. Oh, they may offer simple, kind words, but there's no spiritual life in it. The world, unbelievers, they do face hard and difficult circumstances. They do face heartache and loss, stressful situations. But the encouragement that they receive from others is to just go to the bar and drink down your sorrows. Join me in my immorality. Busy yourself in worldly entertainments and everything will be okay. But after all that, the soul is still empty. There's still many questions that go unanswered. Perhaps you are here this morning. Perhaps the Lord has brought you here to this place, not by accident, but by God's providence. And you are a stranger to the family of God. You must see that your greatest need is not for a human companion, but for a heavenly companion. Your greatest need is not for earthly friends, but for an eternal friend, the friend of sinners, Jesus Christ, the one who has come to give everlasting life. Jesus Christ is the greatest comfort. He is the greatest encouragement. He's the greatest hope that mankind can have. This is the message of the gospel. You see, Jonathan in the scripture is a picture of Christ, the one who comes to us in our most trying times. Perhaps you this day are going through a dark and trying time. Perhaps you have wondered even if it's worth living anymore. Perhaps you've contemplated suicide. Yeah, you have even tried to commit suicide. You feel alone. You feel this world has nothing to offer. Let me tell you this day that Jesus Christ came to give you life and life more abundant. Confess your sinfulness to God and believe that He has the power to save you. You have been created for Him. You have been created to glorify God, and you are a special treasure in His eyes. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Don't let any person tell you that you're here by mistake or chance. Listen, this world has nothing of significance to offer you. Christ offers you joy, peace, comfort, hope, blessing, heaven, and friends who will love you and encourage you to the end of life. Christian, do you see how important it is to gather together for public worship each week? One of the reasons we meet Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night is because we see in Scripture how important it is to encourage and edify one another in the faith. And one of the many benefits of attending a local church is the constant encouragement and edification we receive, yes, from the preacher, but even more so from one another. Listen, church, we do not exist to bite and devour one another, but we exist to build up and encourage one another in the most holy faith. That's why we are here. The local church should be one of the most friendliest and warmest places on earth. It should be a place of constant encouragement, not a place of constant discouragement. And if we are spreading the seed of discouragement, we need to kill it. And if others are spreading that, we need to kill it. And this is a place where Christ is lifted up. And when Christ is lifted up, there's no room for biting and devouring one another. And with that said, maybe you're here this morning, Christian, and you're in the slough of despond. You've come deeply depressed, troubled by your external circumstances. You're physically tired, spiritually weary, and even tempted to quit. You've thought about throwing in the towel. Maybe Hebrews tells us, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Some are forsaking the assembly of ourselves this day, and they are doing other things, and you are tempted in your mind. Hey, it would be a lot easier if I didn't have to wake up early on Sunday mornings and go on a bus and serve in a class. I can think of a lot of other things to do. Maybe I should go do that. Others who profess Christ are. Maybe I should do that. Let me this day encourage you. May God give me the grace and strength to be a Jonathan to you. Can I remind you this morning to cast your burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee, because He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. Stay strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Listen, church family, stay faithful, stay prayerful, stay in His Word, keep fighting sin, keep encouraging yourself in the Lord, keep running the race with patience, looking unto Jesus, for we shall one day hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And as I encourage you this morning, go and do likewise. I encourage you so that you can go and encourage someone who needs encouragement. And listen, start in your home. Husbands, start by encouraging your wives. Wives, start by encouraging your husbands. Parents, encourage your children. Children, encourage your parents. Church member, encourage other believers. Look around you this morning. There are many who could benefit from a word, from a prayer, from a promise from God's word. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Be intentional. Pray for opportunities. Look for opportunities. Let not man look upon his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Listen, stop focusing on yourself. And do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We are commanded to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, and may God use us to do so. In conclusion this morning, let me say this. There is no further mention of David and Jonathan ever meeting again after this instance. No further writings that would conclude that David and Jonathan ever saw each other on earth again. David would live for another 60 plus years running from Saul, eventually becoming king, going through trials and heartaches. More, a few years after this meeting, Jonathan would die in a battle with the Philistines. If this was the last time that they ever saw each other on earth, what a powerful closing point for us to consider. And it is this. Be an encouragement to someone. Because you may never have the opportunity to do it again. Life is a vapor. Jesus Christ is coming, and He's coming soon. You look at your life, and sometimes we presume, oh, that brother or sister in Christ, they'll be here next week in church. I'll say something then. And God moves them. His job. God moves them with the military. And oh yes, we have social media. We have access through email and phone, but face to face, we may never have the opportunity to do it again. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. Who can you strengthen today in the Lord? Who can you strengthen this week in the Lord? The Bible doesn't tell us that Jonathan fought a giant. It doesn't tell us that Jonathan was used to build the temple of God. It doesn't tell us that he preached a great sermon with great results like Jonah and Peter. But it does tell us that he was used of God to encourage the man after God's own heart. And this was God's will for his life. So never underestimate what God can do with a word of encouragement.